This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to The Commercial Investing Show, where we analyze, explain, and exploit the opportunities presented in today's commercial property marketplace. If you're interested in apartments, mobile home parks, self-storage facilities, and other income property, you've come to the right place. We'll explore what's hot and what's not in markets nationwide in the relentless pursuit of return on investment. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Commercial Investing Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we discuss the relentless pursuit of ROI. Yes, that's right, return on investment and return on inflation. We have a changing future with monetary policy and fiscal policy the way it is, and we need to prepare for it as investors by structuring our transactions differently, and we will talk about that on this episode and future episodes, of course. So we will be back with a fantastic interview for you and a guest today in just less than 60 seconds. Stay tuned.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn how to finance your next big real estate deal, there's a show for that. If you want to learn more about food storage and the best way to keep those onions from smelling up everything else, there's a show for that. If you honestly want to know more about business ethics, there's a show for that. And if you just want to get away from it all and need to know something about world travel, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com. Or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
It's my pleasure to welcome Ken Brown to the show. He has been in commercial real estate for many years, and he did his first commercial real estate flip about 20 years ago, and he's made a bunch of money on different commercial real estate deals. We're going to focus today on triple net leases and self-storage facilities. One where you get more of a yield, it's more of a yield type investment, and the other more of a value add investment. Ken, welcome. How are you?
I'm well, Jason. Good to be here.
It's good to have you on the show, and you're coming to us from San Rafael, California, up north, right?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. Give us just a brief overview of your background, and let's dive in and let's talk about these two different classes of investments.
So I actually didn't start off in real estate. I started off in music and realized that I could never make the kind of living that I wanted to. So like many people, I 20 years ago, I started doing fix and flips. And on my first deal, I flipped a property and made $40,000, and I was hooked. And the next deal, I actually purchased a home and flipped it in escrow and made $250,000. And with that money, I decided that instead of reinvesting it into residential properties and doing that over and over again, that I would venture into commercial real estate. And in the beginning, it looked like it was very scary because commercial is so much bigger than residential. And it turned out to be pretty straightforward. So I fell in love with commercial, and I've been doing that ever since.
And when you say commercial, though, Ken, I got to ask you to define that because nobody knows what the heck that means. Did you mean a self-storage deal or a triple net deal or something else?
So commercial is anything bigger than a fourplex.
Yep.
So it can be multifamily, self-storage, strip mall, warehouses.
Right. But what did you do? What segment of commercial did you do when you decided to make the switch?
Well, I went into self-storage.
Ah, good stuff. Good decision, especially 20 years ago, probably, right? Or whenever it was?
Yes. Well, it turned out to be a great decision. The returns were excellent. But I did a lot of research on which asset class. You know, did I want to go to multifamily or strip malls or self-storage? And I found out that there were some real advantages of self-storage, but having evicted people in the past, the idea of being able to lock somebody out and sell their belongings after 45 days without having to file an unlawful detainer and go to court several times was very appealing to me.
You're Scrooge, you mean guy. You want to kick them out. Well, you know, you talked about starting in music, and I'll tell you, real estate investing is music to many people's ears. So self-storage was the asset class you chose. Take us through a self-storage investment. Teach us a little bit about that asset class, and then let's switch over and talk about triple net.
You bet. So self-storage is a real value-added opportunity. So I'm going to walk you through my first commercial transaction. And I'd like to say I made $1.25 million on this, $1,222,000. And I started off doing what you're supposed to do, which is just calling all of the self-storage facilities in a particular area. And you get the rates on their different size units. And you just get to know something about them by seeing where they appear. You know, are they on the first page of a Google search or on the fifth page? And you can see, once you've looked at several facilities, that you can actually see an opportunity there. And I spoke to a guy. He was a developer, and he lived 6 hours away. And he loved to develop, but he didn't love to run the facility. Matter of fact, he had shown up on the facility 3 times in the last year. Now, this isn't very sophisticated, but to me, that sounded like an opportunity. So it turns out I purchased that facility, and I have to say that I purchased that facility at the full retail value based on his current occupancy. Now, commercial real estate, all commercial real estate is valued by the present value of a future stream of income. So if you think that you can increase the income significantly and you buy it at today's rate, then you can do some really interesting things. Let me give you an example. When I purchased this facility, we were grossing $42,000 a month in rental income. Expenses were 39%. So my monthly net operating income, so my gross income minus all my expenses, was my net, which was $25,000, roughly.
Okay, and how many units and where was that located, Ken?
So this was located in California, 30 miles north of Bakersfield.
Okay.
So that's the last place you go just before you fall off the end of the earth.
How do you get that deal? Did you do that by just calling self-storage facilities and saying, hey, you want to sell, or what do you do?
You know, you do. I wish that I could tell you that it was more sophisticated than that. But the trick that I use is you call up and you ask about all of their prices. And in the beginning, you know, they may be reluctant to give them to you. But I told the managers that I am doing their market research for them, so they know what all of their competitors are charging. And at that stage, on the promise of giving them all the information that I have gotten, that they will give me theirs. Now, that's very valuable information, but more importantly is that you start to develop a relationship with the manager. And then once you've talked to the manager a few times, they are likely to pass on your information. And I have to say, I've had a lot of success with that. This really is a relationship business. You know, people call up all the time and they're maybe rude or short or jerks. But if you take the time to develop a relationship and to give real value to the gatekeeper, he or she will usually pass that information on. So I got this information, and it turns out that I bought the facility from the guy because I can tell you the exact moment that he agreed to it is when he told me, he says, you know, I'm a developer. And I said, well, that's good because I'm an operator. We were made for each other. It turns out this was my first facility, so by definition, I was an operator. So there were 650 units, which is a good size facility. I was able to increase the rent on 390 units by $2.50.
Hmm.
So $2.50 isn't enough for you to get mad at me and move out, but it does remarkable things to your value because, generally speaking, for every dollar that you can increase your income or reduce expenses, it is worth $200 in value to your facility.
Well, just explain that math a moment, because you said every dollar, you don't have a 200 times multiple.
No, it's not a multiple, it's a cap rate.
Right, but it's not 200 times, right?
Well, if you take $1 and you multiply that $1 a month and you multiply that by 12, that's $12, right, per year. And if you divide that by 0.06, you get $200.
Okay, I see.
And that's a 6 cap rate. And the cap rate is simply the return that you would earn on investment if you paid all cash.
Yeah, we got that. But these cap rates, I mean, a 6 cap, you know, that's not too exciting, is it?
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. Okay. I was being gentle, but okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, but that's what you're looking at. I mean, in the Socialist Republic of California, you know, people are buying deals at 4 caps. It's insane. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's horrible. But here's the thing, Jason. It's a 6 cap on existing revenue with occupancy at 50%. So, yes.
You can add value, yeah.
Yeah, if I could add value, and when you deal with a developer, they're, you know, emotionally tied to their property. So I was happy to buy it at a 6 cap because I knew that it would end up being a much better property. And in fact, it was. And all I did over the course of the next couple years is I increased, as I mentioned, rent $2.50 the day that I took ownership of the property, and then 6 months later.
So all those properties didn't have leases in them then? They didn't have a situation where, you could just walk in and increase them all?
Yeah, it's all month to month in self-storage.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, okay. But a lot of them, they just do annual increases. I mean, on the storage units I have at least, but yeah.
Yeah, where we were perhaps more transient.
And they were probably more under market too, because it wasn't that well managed. Have all of these deals been gobbled up though? You know, there have been roll-ups and, you know, the big corporate players moving into the self-storage world. Are there still deals out there for a mom and pop investor?
Yes. So the specifics of that are the big five, Public Storage, Extra Space, CubeSmart, they own 11% of the inventory out there, the inventory being somewhere in the 55,000 self-storage facility range. So you figure there are 45,000 to 50,000 mom-and-pop owners, investors of self-storage facilities. So yes, there is opportunity out there. And also these big REITs like to purchase in A markets. They don't like secondary or tertiary markets as much. And they buy very nice properties. So yes, there is opportunity out there. It's not that difficult to find because you're looking for a spread between what everybody is doing and maybe what the subject property is doing, so that if you can manage it better and just bring it up to par with everybody else, then you've got yourself a profitable facility. And I have to say, that's all I did. I didn't do, you know, when I say I made $1.25 million, it was by increasing rents at $2.50 twice, lowering expenses, and increasing occupancy 15 units in a 650-unit facility. You can hardly call me a genius, but that was worth $1.25 million.
Yeah, yeah, good. Okay, good stuff. What else do you want people to know about self-storage? And then let's switch gears and let's talk about some triple net opportunities.
Self-storage is a great value-add opportunity. And as I said, you know, if you just call around and get information on 50 facilities and start comparing, you will see which facilities are managed well and which ones aren't. And if you can just go in there and manage a facility well, there's no reason that you can't increase the value.
In terms of how hard it is to get deals, though, just anything you want to share there. I mean, you make it sound kind of easy, I must tell you. You know, do some cold calling. You'll get someone who wants to sell. You know, any particular suggestions there on getting
yes.
those deals?
So when I teach, the word that I use a lot intentionally is mundane. It is getting on the phone and calling people and getting their data and comparing it with other facilities and developing relationships. Once you have done that 50 times, you will have a very good understanding of your market and you will see which facilities are underperforming compared to every other facility. And there's always a story behind an underperforming facility. And I have to say that I taught a class 3 months ago, and I have a student who is in contract with a self-storage facility, and it's only because the father died, left it to the four children, they don't get along, and he came in and provided a solution.
Yeah, good. Good stuff. Okay, in terms of triple net opportunities, a very different type of asset, what should people know there? And let's start with the beginning, just going in chronological order. How do we start? How do we get into that business, and why would it be attractive to any of the listeners?
So the reason it would be attractive to people and to listeners is because, in my opinion, given the historically low interest rates and the amount of equity in single-family residential properties, I believe, as you mentioned in one of your previous podcasts, that if interest rates increase 1%, that value will drop 10%. And interest rates will, in fact, come up one of these days. So right now, people have a great deal of equity in their homes, but they're not getting a very good return on their equity. So in residential real estate, the amount of money that you make has nothing to do with the amount of equity that you have in the property. So this is a perfect time, in my opinion, to exchange out of your residential investment property and put it into a triple net lease.
You're saying that because you're treating it almost like a bond, aren't you? In that you're doing an arbitrage play on the interest rates, right? I mean, to me, to my thinking, I know you disagree with me on this, Ken, but these triple nets just don't have very good yields. You know, they're simple, which is the attraction for a lot of people, especially like doctors and things like that. They like those kind of deals. The returns, they're just not that great, are they?
So the returns by themselves, no, they're not. However, that being said, given historically low interest rates, you can make the spread between whatever your return is and whatever you can borrow money at. So by the time you factor that into the equation, and by the time you factor in depreciation, you can easily make 12 to 15 to 18% cash on cash return.
Okay, so tell us about that. Let's explain that a bit. Okay, so, you know, look, if you're going to put your money in the bank, you're going to earn 0.5%. By the time you pay taxes and inflation, you're totally screwed. That's not going to work. What can we earn on a triple net
deal? So on a triple net deal, what you earn is going to be dependent on a few things. It's going to be dependent on the security of the property. In other words, if you buy a CVS, and the lease payments are guaranteed by the corporation, then you're going to be offered a lower return than if you were to buy a mom and pop store that had no corporate guarantee. And also, if you buy a McDonald's, it's flashier than if you buy an auto parts store, so it's going to be lower. But, you know, typically you're looking at 5 to 7% with leases that are 10 years plus, by the way, which is another advantage. So you're starting off with 5 to 7%, but if you can borrow money at, let's say, 5% today, and you're getting a 7% return, you're making 2% on the loan that you took out.
On the arbitrage. So,
and then, yeah, of course, depreciation. It's 39-year depreciation for commercial property. So if you buy $1 million property, your building's probably going to be $700,000. And they'll end up in real cash tax savings, you know, $15,000 to $30,000. That is real cash.
Assuming you qualify for that depreciation tax benefit, though, you know, you got to qualify for those passive losses, right? And what I mean there is if you earn over $150,000 per year, they're going to phase out on you. Unless you're a real estate professional, right?
So there are always ways to skin that cat. I'm not familiar with that aspect because I haven't had that problem just because I have a capable CPA. But even without the depreciation, you're looking at, you know, 10, 11%.
And where are people borrowing that money? For what purpose are they borrowing it? Is that a line of credit, or is it the money you put down on the actual triple net deal that you buy? Or, you know, I know you're talking about the arbitrage between the borrowing and the return, which is great, but tell us about the borrowing of that just for a moment.
Well, there are a lot of companies, insurance companies in particular, that really love lending on triple net properties because they're really lending to the strength of the corporation. They want to make sure that the corporation can make do. There is no shortage of lenders there. But where a new investor without a lot of money can actually find investors rather easily is people who own mutual funds. You know, there are 93 million Americans who hold about $13 trillion of mutual funds where they are losing money every year. So if you could explain that to somebody who owns a mutual fund, that you can go from actually a negative return to a, you know, 6, 8, 10% return, I have found that people are actually anxious to get out of mutual funds, especially once they see how much money they're losing in them.
Yeah, right. Mutual funds are a scam.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Friend. Wall Street is the modern version of organized crime, as I always say. How do we find our triple net deals?
There is a website, triplenetcompanies.com, that not only lists all of the triple net properties in the market, but there's a calculator there right on the front page where you can compare the return that you're getting on your single family residential property with a triple net property. So it actually walks you through the steps. So if a new investor is actually trying to raise money to buy a triple net property, all they have to do is call somebody who, you know, who has a residential property and fill out the information on one calculator, and it will automatically calculate how much more money they can make with triple net leases. And also, if they just talk to people who have mutual funds and find out what return they're getting and compare that to triple net properties, I have found if it's explained properly, which you can do by using this triplenetcompanies.com website, that people are happy to listen to you.
Okay. And that's your website, right?
This is one of your companies?
Yeah. Okay. And basically here, are you acting as a broker or are you looking to sell your own properties or do teaching or what's the business
model? The business model behind this is, so I had about a lot of money to invest from another company and I couldn't find a good triple net property because everybody, all the brokers who I spoke with held them as pocket listings. So now we consolidate that all together into one. So we have all of the triple net properties there and now I act as a buyer's representative in finding these properties.
You're acting as a buyer's agent,
correct?
Right? A buyer's broker? Okay, good. And so you find them the properties and they can find them themselves. I mean, they can go to, you know, the various listing websites out there, of course, too. They can find them here. What do they need to put down on these deals? What's usually the structure? Give us the sort of typical
deal. A typical deal is 25% down. We're finding no problem with that, especially if it's got a corporate guarantee.
And the corporate guarantee is from the tenant.
It's from
like
the
7-Eleven,
yeah.
For example. That won't work on a franchised operation, though, because each franchise is independent. Like if it's a Dollar General, it's only going to have the guarantee of that one location.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. But if it's a Starbucks, it's going to have the big corporate
exactly.
guarantee,
hence
right?
the spread in your returns.
Okay. What type of terms are they going to have? Because see, the triple net lease is fixed for maybe, what, 10, 20 years,
but mm-hmm.
that,
yeah.
And so that mortgage though will become variable after 5, 7, or
after
10 years.
Right? We try to match the fixed portion of the loan to the term of the lease.
All right. What else do you want people to know about acquisition?
Well, with acquisition, you have to look at a few things before you make a determination on which kind of triple net property you want. First of all, you have to decide, do you want it to be close enough to where you can show your friends that you own this McDonald's or CVS. That's one decision that you have to make. Another is...
Right. And again, just to be clear, you don't own the business. You don't own the business opportunity. You just own the property on which the business sits, right?
Correct.
Okay. So yeah.
Then you have to determine what return you want to get. Now, of course, the riskier, you know, if it's a single owner dollar store owner, you're going to get a much better return, especially if he's got a 2-year lease remaining, than a CVS with a 20-year return. So you have to make amends with what you want there. You know, most people are happy with a reasonable 6-7% return on a 10-year lease. You know, after 10 years, things are pretty much up for grab. We don't know what's going to happen. And then go on triplenetcompanies.com and do some research. And, you know, there's a point there where you can say, I'm interested in this property. And then what we do is we actually have a few people who go into the market and scour the, there's about 43 different companies that offer triple net properties. And since they move rather quickly, we keep an updated database. And that's really the value add that we do.
In closing, Ken, what do you like better? Do you like triple net or self-storage better?
They're very different animals. So for a value add opportunity, I love self-storage. There is not a better investment out there. I love self-storage. Once you have earned your money and you don't want to manage a property or manage a manager, then I like a triple net. I'm in triple net properties. I'm in a lot of triple net properties right now, and I just get a check every month, and I love that. So it really depends. If you're new and just starting out, I would say the excitement of self-storage investing is fabulous. Yeah, when you get a little older like me, you want to spend more time at home, triple net's a great alternative, especially since you can see it. It's a single entity, and you're not a victim of interest rate fluctuations, equity fluctuations, or mutual fund piracy.
Have you had any problems on these triple net deals? I mean, the promoters of them make them sound so simple. But my ex-girlfriend, for example, she's now married, and she and her husband did a triple net deal. And I always thought those were so easy. But then it was a dollar store. I can't remember which one of the dollar stores it was. And it was in Austin, Texas. And the tenant defaulted because there was a better location that was built, not too far away. And they just said, hey, we're moving. Sue us. Tough. They lost a fortune on that deal. But I don't know. Maybe they didn't manage it right. I'm not sure. You know, have you had any problems, or are they pretty problem-free most of the time?
Well, that depends.
Yeah. It always depends, doesn't it?
So if you buy a dollar store that is a single franchisee and he defaults, you're stuck. So personally, I like to make a little less on the return and have it guaranteed by a Shopko or a CVS or, you know, a company that can't default.
Right, right. Well, they could default, though. I mean, to say that they can't is, you know, there's still a default risk. I mean, I kind of wonder what happens. Circuit City, those were probably triple net deals, right? And Barnes & Noble, Circuit City just went under completely, but Barnes & Noble just downsized. What happens in those deals? I mean, those are big deals, but
are big deals, and I'm sure they did default. And in that case, before I would have bought one of those, I would have looked at the S&P rating or the Moody rating and see just how strong they are. You know, I know that Sports Authority, you can buy a Sports Authority for, a 15% return on your money. Of course, they're all vacant and dark. So, you know, that's one of the decisions that you have to make in purchasing basically passive income. You know, do you want to make a few extra dollars, or do you want it to be a little bit more secure? And the trick is to marry those two so that you're making the most money, but tempered with the greatest security.
Yeah, right, right. It's always, everything in life is a trade-off, isn't it?
It is.
Good stuff. Give out any websites you want. You already mentioned your company, the Triple Net Company, but what's your other website? You
have the Triple Net Company is triplenetcompanies.com. But the other course, and mostly for learning about commercial real estate, for being aggressive, for learning about how to invest in self-storage, is CRESuccessAcademy.com. That stands for Commercial Real Estate Success Academy.com. And there you'll get some information. And we have a course that I teach that is a three-day course on how to find self-storage, how to find commercial properties, how to fund them, how to get investors, you know, for somebody who wants to really roll up their sleeves and make money in commercial real estate.
Good stuff. Ken Brown, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. It was a real pleasure.
Here's your chance to catch up on all of those Creating Wealth shows that you've missed. There's a 3-book set with shows 1 through 60, all digital download. You save $94 by buying this 3-book set. Go ahead and get these advanced strategies for wealth creation. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.